This is Archives Collection Oral History Interview Number 1, recorded on September 25, 1969, with Dr. Joseph Magnuson concerning his World War I experiences in Base Hospital 21, United States Army, sponsored by the Washington University School of Medicine.
Developed in 1916 by the American Red Cross and the War Department, a number of base hospitals were organized by the Department of Military Relief of the American Red Cross. At the time, America had not entered the war. These units were developed from existing civil institutions so that, if the need for such units should arise, there would be fully equipped hospital units, complete with physicians, nurses, and so forth, for active service. Washington University, in conjunction with Barnes Hospital, was designated as the organizing unit for Unit 21. Dr. Fred T. Murphy, Professor of Surgery of Washington University, was appointed as director of the unit. Other doctors and nurses were recruited from the university and Barnes Hospital. When war with Germany was declared April 7, 1917, the War Department made plans to call these medical units into service as part of the American Army. On April 21, 1917, a telegram from Washington was received asking, quote, "Can your unit go to Europe and how soon?" unquote. Dr. Murphy replied, quote, "Yes, within 1 week," end of quote. The next week, orders were received to prepare to mobilize for foreign service. Final preparations were made. A balanced staff of doctors and nurses was organized, and the enlisted personnel recruitment was completed by May 13, 1917. On May 16, farewell services were held at Christ Church Cathedral. May 17th, the unit left for New York and sailed on the 19th on the steamship St. Paul. After an 8-day voyage, the unit landed in Liverpool, England. The enlisted personnel proceeded to Blackpool, where they were instructed in the rudiments of Army training. The officers and nurses spent this time in London. They were reunited at Southampton on June 10, and crossed the channel on a British troop and supply ship that night. The men spent the next night in a British camp on the hill at Le Havre and traveled on a French troop train to Rouen during the night of June 11. I want to interject at this point that the steamship St. Paul returned to the United States, the New York Harbor. It disloaded its cargo and immediately thereafter sank in the harbor at New York. In the Champ de Course, (racetrack), on the outskirts of Rouen, the British established No. 12 General Hospital, British Expeditionary Force, in 1914. Our unit proceeded to the Champ de Course on Tuesday, June 12, to replace the British staff. This was a 1,350-bed hospital, almost completely made up of tents. Two other hospitals were operated within the racetrack. One was a British hospital for captured, wounded enemy prisoners, and British prisoners who had self-inflicted wounds. And the third was a British colonial hospital. On the steamship St. Paul, we were accompanied by Hospital Unit No. 10, recruited in Philadelphia. We thought these two units would be the first American troops to land in France, but to our surprise, when we arrived in Rouen, we learned that Unit No. 3 from Cleveland had arrived a few days before we did. The Cleveland unit operated at British Hospital up Rue de Boeuf from General Hospital, a distance of about a mile and a half south of us. As we proceeded to take over the operation of the hospital, we soon learned that it would be necessary to retain some of the British personnel until reinforcements could be sent from the United States of America. Also, because of the rigors of our work, about 20 of the enlisted men were unable to continue with the work and were returned to the United States of America. Reinforcements arrived in November 1917, which included 9 doctors, 29 nurses, and 47 enlisted men, all having been recruited in St. Louis. As the fighting on the Somme front increased, the number of wounded received increased considerably. It was on the Somme front that tanks and poison gas were first used. At this time, there were autopsies performed on patients who died of poison gas, and we made sections of various anatomical structures, and these were perhaps the first made overseas. To help us carry the extra load, additional help in the form of Unit D, recruited in Louisville, Kentucky, was very welcome. Unit D arrived in April 1918 and remained with us until August. At another time, 40 men from a Canadian hospital arrived to help with the work. At times, we also used German prisoners. However, most of the prisoners were skilled tradesmen who replaced our war tents with portable wooden huts, wooden structures. Because of the vast experience gained by our early arrival in France, and because of our excellent record of operation, the American Army headquarters began a program of recruitment of our men and women. A number of our men were called to Paris or elsewhere for duty. In most instances, these men received handsome promotion in rank. I might add at this time that there was recruitment for aviators, and there were 2 of us, another person and myself, who volunteered. But I suddenly found out that I was not acceptable, and I later found out that Dr. Opie, who was supposed to be my second father overseas, interceded, and hence I remained with the unit. A number of our men were called to Paris or elsewhere for duty. In most instances, these men received handsome promotions in rank. When the American Army became active at Chateau Thierry and Belleau Wood in 1918, it took the pressure off the Somme front, and our work became lighter. It was then that Mobile Unit Number 4 was recruited from our Unit 21. Mobile Number 4 was sent to the American sector where, because of their extensive experience at Rouen and their indomitable spirit, they made an excellent record. After the armistice, Mobile Unit Number 4 was returned to Rouen. During the 18 months of administering to the ill and wounded at Rouen, 61,453 patients were received. During this time, only 2 patients were kept for extended periods of treatment. The others were rehabilitated as quickly as possible and sent to convalescent camps or to England for further treatment. The war ended on November 11, 1918, and few patients were received after that date. In January 1919, the work of closing 12 General began, and on January 22nd, the last patients were transferred elsewhere or discharged. Up to this time, our military service was with the British, specifically the Royal Army Medical Corps. On February 11, 1919, we left for Vannes, Plouhanel, or Karnak Plage. The nurses were sent either to Germany for further service or to Vannes General Hospital for return to America. About 5 weeks were spent in Brittany or elsewhere awaiting orders to sail home. This gave the personnel time to visit interesting places in the area. On March 20, we left for Brest, and our first American camp, Pont Tenison. On April 7th, the unit sailed on the German troop ship Graf Waldersee. which was a ship turned over to the Allies by the American government according to the terms of the armistice which ended World War I. This Graf Waldersee was no prize, as we usually consider prizes. It leaked very badly and listed dangerously. At one time, the water in the hole became so deep, the ship stopped in mid-Atlantic so steam could be used for the water pumps. After 13 days, we landed in New York on Easter Sunday, which was April 20, 1919. The Red Cross served our Easter dinner on the deck, sauerkraut and sausage. We went to Camp Merritt in New Jersey and spent 1 week there. On our way to Camp Funston, Kansas, we stopped in St. Louis for a parade, a reception, and memorial services at Christ Church Cathedral. The unit then left for Camp Funston, and on May 3, 1919, was demobilized, and the men were discharged. Time and service, May 17, 1917, May 3, 1919. Only three members died in France. Humphrey Evott, Sheldon Murray, and James Simpson were buried with full American military honors. Nurses Helen Marshall and Paul Graham died in America in 1919 after being sent home ill from France. Because of the passing of years, we do not have a record of how many of our former members are still living. For the departed, we humbly say, Lord, may their souls rest in peace. Written by Charles W. Cole. The third page shows our commanding officers, Colonel James D. Five, Base Hospital 21. He was a member of the regular Army. The second photograph shows Colonel Fred C. Murphy of Base Hospital 21. The third photograph shows Colonel Borden S. Veeder, Base Hospital 21. And the fourth hospital shows Colonel Malvin B. Clopton, Mobile Hospital Number 4. There's a fifth picture on the same page showing Miss Judy C. Stinson. She was director of Washington University School of Nursing in 1917. When Base Hospital Unit 21 was formed, Miss Stimson was appointed chief nurse and sailed for France with the unit, the first to leave St. Louis for active duty overseas. In April 1918, Miss Stimson became head of the Red Cross Nursing Service and later chief nurse of the American Expeditionary Force. After the war, Miss Stimson was placed in charge of the nurses in the regular Army, position which she held until her retirement with a rank of major in 1917. The next page shows the personnel of Base Hospital Unit 21, which replaced that of British General Hospital number 12, which was in the environs of Rouen, France. The next page shows some of our commanding officers, Walter Fischel, Fred T. Murphy, Malvin B. Clopton, Julius Stimson, and Borden S. Veeder. He was commander. He was our last commander. The next two pages shows the personnel of Unit 21, medical officers, dental officers, officer of quartermaster corps, the chaplains, sanitary corps, the nursing staff, and enlisted personnel. The next page is a view from the south bank of the Seine River, in which there is no wall damage. The next page shows the wreckage in World War II. This is included particularly to show the wreckage and ruins at Rouen. Rouen is one of the great history-packed cities of Europe. Jean of Arc was burned in the marketplace. The great cathedral so near the scene of her tribulation is one of the world's sublime monuments bequeathed our time by the men of an unmechanized age. Rouen stands about halfway between Paris and the sea on the Seine. It is a great port because ocean-going boats can come inland as far as Rouen and unload their cargoes there for rail shipment to Paris. The cathedral stands about halfway between the river and the railroad station. The importance of Rouen as a port explains why this area had to be bombed when it was in German hands. You see here the ruins of one of the two main vehicle bridges across the river and the surrounding demolition, partly by fire, which unfortunately had to destroy many historic old buildings. That the cathedral still survives may be taken as a tribute to the precision bombing of our airmen, whose duty it was to destroy the usefulness of the port. That's why this is included. The next page shows scenes first leaving the St. Louis, May 1917. Another photograph next to it shows arriving in New York, May 1917. There's a third picture showing a picture of the pier when we left New York. This is Pier 61, May 19, 1917. The next two pictures are pictures showing a lifeboat drill with men carrying life preservers and the positioning of the lifeboats, two of them. There's another picture on the boat showing one of our fire protectors, a 5-inch gun with some shells, and another view of this boat. I might add that when we got on the boat, our section M, there's a sign to the very bottom of the boat. And I soon decided that it would take me a long time to get up on the top deck of the boat in case something happened. So I sort of walked around and I met the second-class smoking cabin steward. We had a friendly conversation, and I told him where I was sleeping, and he says, why don't you come up here and sleep on the leather cushions? So that's where I slept the rest of the trip. A little bit later on, being inquisitive, I walked around some more, and I met a man who was the second-class, who was the captain steward, who waited on the captain's table. Understand that we two units were present on board ship, but there were private passengers as well. So to be invited to the captain's table is quite an honor. And here I met the man who was waiting on this particular table. We had a conversation, and finally we decided that he was going to feed me going across. So I walked with my greatcoat and had a piece of thick yellow piece of paper on the inside, and I would pass the galley there, and all of a sudden a little stuff would be in there. And I would go down to the quarters and put it in the box, and finally I'd collect the whole meal, and I'd get the 10 men who enlisted in our unit as privates, who were about to graduate Washington University Medical School in June 1917. They were all known to me by their first names, and they knew me by my first name. So I fed them, as well as myself, all the way across overseas. The next page shows the steamship St. Paul as it was in its heyday. And the next page shows positions of lifeboats on the steamship St. Paul, other views. Page 13 shows our officers on board boats with their preservers and with their boat coats and life preservers. The following two pictures on the same page shows our nurses on board the steamship St. Paul and another group showing Miss Julia Simpson with nine nurses. There was also a view of the lifeboat on the steamship St. Paul. The next page, page 14, shows the enlisted men's headquarters, Blackpool, England. It shows a view of a large tower and a Ferris wheel, and it shows another view of the sea on the ocean, and it shows another view one of our soldiers examining a crab in the company of a small girl. There's a small picture on the same page showing the officers and nurses in London, England. Page 15 shows views taken from this live tower shown on the previous page of the city of Blackpool, England. Page 16 shows views of the British General Hospital number 12, where it was a tent city during summer and winter. Roll call was held on the track. Later on, living quarters for the enlisted personnel were erected on the track. The walks were made by members of the unit who dined underneath the grandstand, and the officers and nurses and enlisted men who had their quarters behind the stand. Page 17 shows an identification card given to the Base Hospital 21 by the American Red Cross. This identifies Mr. Mouchon, April, address 3890 Windsor Place, St. Louis, Missouri. Enrolled as male administrative personnel and has the signature of A.R. Mouchon and Director Sub 2 Murphy. Underneath this, on the same page, is a book towel showing the left shoulder pad, indicating that the wearer belonged to the 2nd Army Corps, which consisted of British and American units. This is the only such unit in the two armies. General Hospital. We were connected as were the other hospitals, which were over at Base Hospital. The page 18 shows casualties being unloaded from ambulance and carried into the receiving hut. Page 19 is further views showing casualties arriving by rail from various points were brought to the Base Hospital in Rouen, where men on convoy duty unloaded them from the ambulances, took them into a hut where they were assigned to wards and carried there by two enlisted men, as shown in the succeeding photograph. Two other photographs are on this page. One shows patients waiting to be x-rayed, lying on their, lying on their stretchers, either waiting to be x-rayed or to be operated on. I should tell you that the operating room was in the middle of three units. The one on one side was the x-ray room, and the one on the other side was the room containing the laboratory. Page 20 shows a patient about to be operated on. And there's another page on this picture showing Dr. Cusson operating on a patient. Page 21 shows the equipment in the x-ray department. Page 22 shows the x-ray equipment, another view. And page 22 shows another view of further x-ray equipment. Page 24 is a view of the clinical laboratory after it was put into one of the buildings that were built for it. The next page, 25, shows the laboratory tent, which we occupied during the first days on arrival to the Base Hospital. It's presumed that this was erected in 1914. On the same page 25 is a view of Captain Walter S. Thomas, who succeeded Eugene L. Opie in charge of the laboratory when he left the unit. He became head of something when he left our unit. There is a picture on the same page showing Lieutenant Colonel Gus S. Coppell, K-O-B-P-P-E-L, who was attached to the Quartermaster Corps when he joined the Base Hospital Unit number 21. There's another picture on the same page of Mance, M-A-N-C-E, Taylor, who was head of the nursing school at St. Luke's Hospital in St. Louis, who succeeded Miss Simpson when she left our unit. Page 29 is a view of the back of the grandstand with the nurses' quarters. Page 27
pictures of you showing the German prisoners carrying patients on convoy duty, in parentheses, during day only. The huts above replaced the original tents. Page 28 shows the enlisted personnel. First, third, and fourth were men assigned to the clinical laboratories, Joe Magazin, Wayne Hutchison, and James B. Costin. The second man is Tom Lodge, an operating room assistant. We are standing before a water container used for emergency purposes in case of fire. Tom Lodge, incidentally, has just dipped his hand in his water and is about to shower me with some water, saying he is finally going to get me. He was a former, he was studying for the priesthood and gave up the priesthood to come with our unit. Page 29 shows the patients relaxing in the sun. There's another page on, there's another viewer on the same page showing a typical ward scene. Page 30 shows treatment of a knee by the Carol Jacob method. And there's another view of the same knee injury. Page 31 shows method of treating lower limb fractures. And page 32 is a continuation of treating lower limb fractures.
Beginning of volume 2. Page 1 shows officers' early quarters. Two other views show prisoners at work and prisoners at mealtime, German prisoners. The second page is a view of the nurses' quarters with a nearby trench in which they might seek shelter in case of an air raid. The third page shows the funeral of General Michet in 1918, various of our units marching French, and two units that were nearby. The fourth page shows the back of the grandstand and a bulletin board which non-commissioned officers read some of their orders. The fifth page is a banquet, I think at Christmas time, showing the non-commissioned officers eating. The sixth page is a view of the cast and orchestra of C'est la guerre, book by Percy Burns, lyrics by Edwin Deacon, both enlisted men in our unit. The seventh page are the stars of C'est la guerre, James B. Costin and Calvin G. Tilton. The eighth page is another play called Studying Conditions by Edwin J. Collier. The ninth page is a nurses put on a show. The 10th page is a continuation of the nurses put on a show. The 11th page shows the partial erection of enlisted men's new sleeping quarters being finished. The 12th page, there are three pictures. The first one showing men with their hands tied behind their backs eating pie. The second picture shows a scene of racing with their feet in bags. The fourth page is of a man called Spencer, who is climbing a greased pole. There's four pictures on page 13. The first showing the general view of the hospital and the seating emplacement of the enlisted men in the shape of USA. The second picture shows the enlisted men seated dining. The third and fourth pictures on this page show that if a bomb exploding near a hut there is some protection for the patients in having sandbags around the hut. None, of course, if there is a direct hit. The 14th page is a group of our medical officers in celebration of Fate Day. The second picture on this page is a view of the grandstand and some of the audience. And the third picture is some of the seated and standing audience watching what was going on. On page 15, the personnel stages a circus. Another picture on this same page is one showing the nurses performing a maypole dance. On page 16, there's a view showing where Joan of Arc was burned at stake in Rouen. There's a picture on this page showing Angie and Conrath after a drive in Unit 4 ambulance in Paris. There's another view showing Charles Koch and his staff. And there's another picture showing some of the members of Unit 21. And on this same page is a picture of Pasteur Institute in Paris. Page number 17 are various views showing the attire of the peoples. One showing young girls, one of a wedding party, one of little Breton boys and girls, and the fourth, residents of Brittany, as they are known, live in the northwest part of France. It was there, from their port of Brest, that American soldiers left for home after the armistice. There were various places that we stayed before we boarded the ship. One of them was a former convent, in parentheses, the convent of Carignan, in the parentheses, above, and the Grand Hotel below, a seaside resort where our unit was billeted at various times. There's a third picture on this page showing Plouharnel, Carnac, menhirs, in parentheses, tall, upright, monumental stones of varying antiquity found in parts of Europe, end of quotation, of the old mill near the railway station. Page number 15 is as follows. St. Louisans, Arshad Mushan drums, Edwin Bacon violin, Sil Horn banjo, and Clarence Koch trumpet. Clevelanders, Russell Hauslabe saxophone, Clayton Thurkill piano, and Albert Angelotta trombone, made up the Scrap Iron Jazzerinos, which entertained the St. Louis and Cleveland units. When the two hospitals were deactivated, the band played for the YMCAs all over Europe, at peace conferences for the Queen of Romania and other dignitaries at the Casino de Paris. Appearing with them were stars of the entertainment world, John Bowles, singer and movie actor, Maurice Chevalier, singer, entertainer, and Bob Carlton, composer of the words and music of the 1918 popular hit, Jada. Sophie Tucker, singer, was their godmother, arranging for the band to get all the music publications they needed. The Victor and Pathé companies recorded their music, and a brilliant future was predicted for the band. However, they were discharged from the army nine months after they had performed before various groups. Page number 20 shows views of the entranceway to the racetrack as it now stands. The first one is the gateway to the race course of a few years ago. The second picture is the race course where it stands in the rear. The third is another view of the race course. On page 21 is the city of Rouen, France, was reconstructed and replaced buildings when visited in 1960. Three pages showing this. 22 is something that remains from World War I, the transporting bridge over the Seine River. The next page is a garden in Rouen. The next picture is a garden in ruin, and the third picture is a facet of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. All of these, of course, were taken during the present-day Rouen. Page 23 shows cities of Rouen were reconstructed and replaced building when visited in the 60s. The first page shows the new Grosse Horloge, and the other two pictures show new buildings put up in Rouen. Page 24 is also the city of Rouen were reconstructed and replaced buildings when visited in 1960. Page 25 consists of letters appearing in various periodicals in St. Louis. One is headed, St. Louis Hospital Unit Wins Fame for City and Britain. Reverend E. Comby Smith in letter tells of valiant work done. Second picture is from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Unit 24 held big banquet in hut in France on war anniversary. This was our first anniversary. The third letter is from the St. Louis Globe Democrat. Washington University Medical Unit soon to return to the United States. Lieutenant Colonel Veders, Wright Space Hospital Unit 21 is finishing up work. Page 26 is what was formed, namely the Rouen Post, a paper devoted to the interests of the Rouen Post number 242. The editor of this page was Mr. William Stack, and someone by the name of Helen Sievers in the Kingsway page said of Mr. Stack, "Salute Editor Stack. We've known Bill Stack as soldier, pugilist, artist, bon vivant, but now he bobs up in a new role, that of editor of the Rouen Post, official news organ and commentator of the recently organized Rouen Post of the American Legion, which meets at the Kingsway Hotel. In a swift transition of mood from grave to gay, the Post gives us retrospective glimpses of memorable days, betrays a between-the-lines rough masculine tenderness, gives flashes of Rabelaisian humor, all studded with the incomparable Stack cartoon." Page 25 is an outer cover of the Rouen Post, a chronicle of the past and present activities of the men and women who served with Base Hospital Unit Number 21. William Stack, editor; Arthur Melville, publisher; William Engel, manager, 1936 to 1946. Page 29 contains the exact copy of that which was handed us as we entered Thanksgiving services on return to St. Louis in 1919. It can be taken apart and the reverse side read. Pages 29 and 30 is what was held not in May 19th through the 21st, 1967. It's titled 21 on Deck, the 50th anniversary reunion, Base Hospital Unit 21, Golden Jubilee. And it gives committee report, Golden Jubilee, roll call, your name for the roll call, the committee, any questions, and then a program. This is the end of the story.